Welcome to Stoma for Life, the Bowel Cancer Awareness and Life as an Ostomate radio show and podcast. Your host, Rafaela, is here to debunk myths, clear up misconceptions, and help you approach the subject that so many people are afraid to talk about in a positive manner. Listen in for a new perspective. Stoma for Life on UK Health Radio.
Once again, a very big hello from my side. I'm absolutely thrilled and feel so privileged to have a truly inspiring guest with me today, Teresa Davis-Mills. Teresa is the author of I'm Not Shitting You, which chronicles her colorectal journey with the humor and with raw detail challenging the stigma associated with this form of cancer. What makes Teresa's story even more touching is the universal truth it reveals. I personally resonate with her journey as we share similar experiences. Living in different parts of the world, Teresa and I have learned that cancer knows no boundaries. We've both faced the challenges of being either undiagnosed or, in my case, misdiagnosed, a harsh reality that many individuals around the globe contend with. Born in Jacksonville, Florida, Teresa is not just a military brat, as she puts it, but she has moved across the country throughout her childhood. She holds a bachelor's degree in sociology from Columbia College, attended nursing school, and boasts over two decades of experiences in medical aesthetics. As a seasoned business owner, Teresa is not only accomplished professionally, but is also a passionate advocate for a healthy, plant-followed lifestyle, yoga, and regular exercise. As a mother of two Navy officers and a grandmother to four, which I certainly cannot believe looking at her right now, Teresa's life story is a testament to the strength that comes from facing adversity head on. Join us as we explore her journey, her advocacy for early detection, and the universal truth that, irrespective of our geographical locations, the impact of cancer echoes universally. Teresa Davis-Mills, welcome to Stoma for Life.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's my absolute pleasure. As I mentioned, you've written a book about your journey with the catchy title, I'm Not Shitting You. This is your personal story about colorectal cancer, so tell us.
It's a short story. I figured how much can you talk about colorectal cancer, but maybe like you, Rafaela, when I was diagnosed, there were a lot of things I didn't know about it. One was I didn't know that in our country, it was the second leading cause of a cancer-related death for both men and women combined. And I would have put it way down on the list, you know, so many other cancers ahead of that. And so I learned a lot. And probably like you, you learn fast about your cancer. And so I had no idea. And unfortunately, statistically, things are not getting better. They're getting worse. They're even in our country, their lung cancer is still the leading cause of a cancer-related death for men and women, but they're projecting that even within the next 7 to 10 years, that colorectal cancer will surpass lung cancer. And that's really alarming, like you, for first world countries. So I think the more that we can share our stories, even though this type of cancer is, I think, difficult to talk about in company, I guess you would call it.
Yeah. People just don't want to talk about it.
There's a stigma to it. Absolutely. Yeah. And so I think the more that women like me and you, just regular people, can talk about it and share our stories and help to make other people more comfortable with the idea of taking prevention to a whole new level, because this is the most preventable of all cancers. Yeah. And yet it's the second leading cause of a cancer-related death in our country. And that's just really alarming.
It's really sad. You know, the reason I started this radio show and podcast was because in my neighborhood, somebody told me about her father that had passed away, and he just refused to have a colonoscopy done. He knew there was something wrong, but it was far too late when he was diagnosed. They just sent him home. They didn't even operate him anymore. And I thought that was really, really sad because, like you said, it's a preventable cancer. If early detection is done, you can really still lead a normal life.
Yes, and early detection, there's a lot, and I talk about this in my book a little bit. Staging is everything with cancer. And for most people, they're a little bit familiar with it. You usually hear of like stage one, or so like, what's your stage? Stage one, stage two, stage three, stage four. And that becomes really important with colorectal cancers, because with a stage one diagnosis, you really have a 90% survival rate within the first 5 years, for the first 5 years. They don't track so much after 5 years. But on the flip side, a stage four, there's only about an 86, or I'm sorry, a 14% survival rate, meaning 86 out of 100 people who are diagnosed with a stage four colorectal cancer probably will not survive with the first 5 years. And what's very alarming about that is, we were talking earlier, I'm a mother like you are. I have two grown sons that I'm very proud of. And colorectal cancer is now the leading cause of a cancer-related death for men under the age of 50. And those are my children. Those are my grown sons that we're talking about. And what is even more kind of alarming about that is, when someone under the age of 50 is diagnosed with a colorectal cancer, and they're usually, the majority will be diagnosed with a late stage cancer because they're not looking for it, right? So if you're over 50, the chances are that if caught early with a colonoscopy, like me or you, we have a great chance of survival, right? That first 5 years, and after, as a stage, I was a stage 2B. But our children don't.
No.
So to know that they would be diagnosed with a late stage cancer under the age of 50, even though they're very healthy, robust young men, it's still getting them. And there's a lot of research out there now. More doctors are talking about it, where this could be coming from, but there's still a lot of work to do. So they have to really be an advocate for their own health, especially, and that includes colorectal health.
And I mean, that's where we come in as well, spreading our stories, spreading the message. Have the screening done. Early detection is key in this type of cancer. And don't you want to take us to the time when you actually discovered or had your diagnosis?
Thank you for allowing me to talk about this, because I made a huge mistake, and I think that mistakes are always difficult to talk about, especially with our health. And it's funny, my friends always tell me, they tease me because I include hair as part of my health maintenance. But I had been really very diligent about, eye appointments, dental exams, pap smears, mammograms, skin checks, because I'm grew up in the sun, all those things. But I knew I needed a colonoscopy at 50, but I kept putting it off. I was taking care of my father at the time in my home. He had had a stroke. I was very busy, making excuses, and it's usually time, fear, money. You can pick the top three or four. And so I kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, year after year. And so I was about 55, and I'd started this new workout routine, and I saw a drop of blood. And that's the tagline on the back of the book, is, one drop of blood changed my life. And not only did it change my life, it saved my life. And so, but again, mistake number two, I kind of ignored it. You kind of think, oh, it's just probably hemorrhoid. I've been rolling 200-pound tires up a hill. Yeah. And so it wasn't until I just started getting this really urgent diarrhea, and I had gut issues throughout my life and had seen doctors and really never knew what it was. There was never seemed to be any concrete answer for it. So the blood started getting a little worse, and the diarrhea was actually like stopping me in my tracks, kind of thing. I'd never experienced something like that. So that got me to the doctor, and I was so fortunate. I had a really a young, beautiful doctor by the name of Dr. Kathy Manilakis, and I told her my symptoms, and the more questions I answered, the more questions she asked. And she looked at me, said, "I think I know what's wrong with you." And she said, "I'm going to send you for some lab work." And so she called me a couple days later, and she said, "You have celiac disease." which explained every oddball symptom I had had since literally I was born. So all of that made sense. And so that was great. I was so excited and relieved, and I knew I was in good hands. And she said, now I want to do an endoscopy and a colonoscopy. So I said, okay. And I only had two polyps in my rectum. That was it. I didn't even have a polyp in my colon, which I really kind of give credit to living a plant forward lifestyle at the time. And so two small, insignificant polyps.
Yeah.
And I remember her telling me that she biopsied one. And I thought, gosh, she is just so thorough. I just love this about her. She's just, I'm in such good hands. And when it came back cancer, who's not surprised by that?
Yeah.
So, you know, then the journey begins. Like I said, you kind of have to find out what this cancer is. And it was a long year getting through all of that, even with an earlier diagnosis of his or as earlier staging of stage 2B. It had grown into my vaginal wall, so I had a lot of decisions to make. But got through it, and I'm really grateful for it. And the book was really inspired by my cousin. My father had passed, and like most families, y'all end up in the kitchen eating too much food and sharing stories. And she had had two heart attacks, and we were sitting across the table, and she was like, I can't believe you didn't tell all of us. And I really kept it very much to myself, only told the people that needed to know. I just wanted to get through it and be done with it. And it wasn't so much about the type of cancer as it was, I just didn't want to talk a lot about it. I just wanted to keep doing my life. And I wanted to visualize my life, you know, getting through this. And she had seen all kinds of doctors. She's only a couple years older than I am. And the one thing she had never done was had a colonoscopy. And I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh my gosh, there's other people like me who make the same mistake. And that's when I thought, I've got to share my story. And so I'm not an extrovert like you. So it's easy to put it in a book. And because up until then, the only time I really like you, we talked about Farrah Fawcett earlier, you know, unless it was somebody that was very, very, very well known, it just wasn't something you rarely heard of it. And really until Katie Couric's husband died. I remember when she's a news person here, just a great celebrity journalist, Katie Couric. And gosh, that was probably over 25 years now. But
but the actor of what's it, Black Panther, I think.
Oh, I know, I know. Oh, why can't I can't. Terrible, called on the spot with names.
Yeah, I'm also not good with it, but I'm sure our listeners will know who we're talking about. I mean, he only died recently, and he was also a very young actor. So, I mean, that's just.
Kirstie Alley died from colon cancer. I think if we probably Googled it, we would see a greater list. I think sometimes, you know, the families didn't share, or the people didn't share what type of cancer it was. And I don't know about you, but Arms Reach Out and Beyond, there had never, ever been a colorectal cancer in our family that I was aware of on either side. And both my parents came from very large families. But the good news is that came from this is my first cousin, Samantha, who's much younger than I am because of the age difference that comes with large families and siblings. She's 30 years younger than I am. And she now, we know, has both genes for celiac. So, celiac gives long-term undiagnosed celiac greater chances of stomach cancers and colorectal cancers. So we're really grateful for that for her. And so it's easy to talk about.
Yeah, so something, even in your immediate vicinity, something good has come out of your diagnosis. I know that once I think this was the day before I actually received my diagnosis, my best friend still said to me, there's no way you've got bowel cancer, because I live plant-based. I'm very active. I do a lot of exercise. I really watch my weight. And so I honestly, I was totally overwhelmed when I was told I had bowel cancer, because it was really not on top of my list of cancers, you know, and everybody else as well.
Right? It's like, what's that about?
But I received the news just before Christmas. It's also not genetic. Nobody in my family has ever had this type of cancer, so it's not genetic, which is good for my children to know. And my surgeon actually said it was just bad luck. And I don't really believe in bad or good luck. I think I went through a very stressful time, and your brain, your mind, and your gut, it's all connected. And I was extremely worried for a long time in my life, very anxious. And I think that sort of contributed to me being diagnosed. But yeah, we'll never know. And I will try my best not to have a repeat.
Right, because they say it, inflammation is really the root cause of, the majority of our illnesses. So that would make sense for you. And like you, whether it's right or wrong, it doesn't matter because you are all responsible for your own health. And I think it's really important to kind of take a step back and identify where those things are that we could maybe make some change and feel better about ourselves and take our health, be more accountable. Because at the end of the day, there's only so much medicine, there's only so many surgeries and that sort of thing. So what is so, because I like to share the bad news was I waited way too long to get my first colonoscopy, right? So I own it. I made a mistake, but I share it because I think it makes it relatable for other people that they don't feel like I did, like I was the only one that ever did that. And so it's never too late to get a colonoscopy. And like you, the more that we can talk about it, the better, especially knowing that this is such a preventable cancer. And like you, when we talked just a little bit before we started, as mothers, it's so important that we're sharing these stories because it's just getting worse for young people. To read the news and know that colorectal cancer is a leading cause of death for men under the age of 50, and it's the second leading cause of death for women under the age of 50. We have really got to just, you don't want to run through the streets with your hair on fire, but it, like I said, if nothing else touches your soul, I think being a mother, there's such a camaraderie and heartfelt, like shared spirit as mothers that we want to protect our children and we teach them to look both ways when they cross the street and things like that. And I know people, we have a lot of things on our plate. If you go down the top from head to toe, it's like great eye health, dental health, heart health, breast health, OBGYN health, dermatology. Just you go down the list, you're like, great. Now I have to think about, going to the bathroom every day. I have to think about all these other signs and symptoms, but it is important because the more that we can get comfortable talking about it, I think the more likely people are to start taking it a little bit more seriously as part of their overall health. And it crosses that fine line because a lot of the symptoms, if you have a big growth that comes up on your arm, you're like, oh, I need to go to the doctor for that. You can visually see it. But if you have something growing inside of you that you can't see, you have to really try to learn the signs and symptoms. And one of the things that's, like I said, kind of crosses that fine line with colorectal cancers is a lot, some of the symptoms mirror things that happen to us in everyday life. So if you're, 40 and you have bad diarrhea for a few days, does that mean you have colorectal cancer? Probably not. Or you have some, constipation for a little time because you've been on vacation and you were eating different foods, or maybe you did see a drop of blood in the toilet and you have been working out at the gym a little bit harder. But I would say this about blood. Blood always warrants a doctor's visit. That's just my,
Absolutely.
don't even overthink it. You
No.
see blood,
No.
go to the doctor, let them tell you it's a hemorrhoid and you have nothing to worry about.
Exactly. Now, on that note, we're going to just take a very short commercial break, and we're back in a second.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Stoma for Life. Now, Teresa was saying, rightly so, every single bit of blood should warrant a checkup at the doctor. And yes, I second that. Absolutely. I mean, that's when I became active as well. And I'm sure people listening will be much more aware now of what's going on with their bodies, because that's what we're pledging this. Listen to your body, because your body does give you signs.
Yes. And when it does come to those symptoms that can mirror everyday life, like diarrhea or constipation or a drop of blood or some stomach pain, we've all had that. You know, you ate too much popcorn at the movie theater or something like that. So like I said, you don't want to be that person where you feel like you're running through the streets with your hair on fire. But there's usually some other things that may be coming that come with it that you might have been ignoring, maybe fatigue or something like that. But the rule of thumb now is if something lasts, some say 2 weeks, some go as much as four before you should see a doctor. I would just say, go ahead and make your appointment and get in, you know? So, but that 2 to 4 week window, I think is fair. Yep. You know, if you just had a little bit more constipation than what you would ever consider normal, you have seen that drop of blood that just seemed to come out of nowhere.
Yeah. And there's that inner voice that talks to you, because nobody can tell me that there is nobody speaking to you. It's your inner voice that says, oh, you know, there is something. I should have it checked out.
Right.
You have to listen to that inner voice.
Right. Right. And life gets really busy, right? It's hard. Like I said, for women, we, you know, it's breast health and kids and whatever hobbies and whatever you're doing that keeps life busy for you. So, but it's the stigma that comes with this type of cancer, and even the prevention of this type of cancer really just warrants a lot more open conversation, because the more we can get comfortable talking about this cancer, the better we're all going to be for it. It's to know that it's the most preventable cancer. It's one of the leading causes of death around the, not just in our country and your country, but around the world.
Yeah.
So, and we're so fortunate to have a screening tool.
Yeah.
That
I don't know what the screening scenario is like in the US. Here in the UK, from the age of like 55, they advise you to have your screening done. You actually get a screening kit sent home, which is that fit test that you have done. You know, you just sort of send in a sample, and then according to that, they'll see and monitor you. I don't know what it's like in the States.
Well, we're probably a little bit ahead of you. And in the States, the first, your first recommended colonoscopy is at the age of 50.
Mm-hmm.
They are lowering that to the age of 45.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Unless there's something that would warrant them to take a look earlier. So I know when I was diagnosed, you know, my son straight away went and got screened, not just for cancer at that age, but obviously for the celiac. So, so we can be aware of that in our family. But, you know, there's some disparities that are keeping people from getting, you know, to the doctors. And I don't like to sound stereotypical. I think women, you know, we're too busy, and men are like, I don't need to do that. I'll be fine tomorrow, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to share the story of a family friend. He's my son's age, 42 years old, and was diagnosed with my exact same cancer, very healthy, mm-hmm. and same staging. And so he's very fortunate, because he's on the side of that early type of staging, mm-hmm. where he's not into a stage 3 or stage 4. So it's happening to healthy young men, healthy young women. And again, the more we can talk about it, just person to person, and share our stories, and the more comfortable that we can help people to be with that part of their health. And like the UK, we have those screening kits that you can take home. There's even commercials now, you know, where it's like, it's kind of funny. You know, they're like, I poop because there's always those topics that you're just brought up to believe that are not polite in company, but it is okay to talk about it.
I always say, I want you to be caught with your pants down and check your poop.
I like that.
You know, that's really putting a picture in your head, but yes.
Right.
So, but I mean, there are so many misconceptions about it. I mean, even in my immediate family, people were like, actually, you don't speak about the C word.
Right.
People are scared to talk about it because it's like a bad omen. Once you talk about it, you attract it, but it's not like that. We want you to go through life with your eyes open, wide open.
And I know there's a lot of hesitancy. Sometimes people, you know, everyone loves to make fun of the colonoscopy, right? Mm-hmm. But the beauty of that tool is it's one of the very few tools where a doctor can actually go in and visualize, diagnose and treat all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's, for a lot of people, it's a one and done for, you know, 5, 10 years.
And then you've got peace of mind.
Isn't that priceless?
Absolutely.
Very, very priceless. Mm-hmm. So now we're not just talking about, I think colorectal cancer for so many generations was just thought of as an old people disease. But today we know better than that, right? Mm-hmm. We know that is no longer true. This is just not an old people disease. And we have to get that mentality out of our head and think of this as a every person disease.
Mm-hmm. It's, yeah.
I does don't know. Not discriminate.
Yeah, no, it does not. No boundaries.
No boundaries, right? And like you, you know, that have shared stories of very young people that have had this cancer and some that have passed. So I always go back to being a mother. I think there's nothing that gives you more passion about something than something that will eventually help your own children more, even more than yourself.
Yeah.
So as mothers, we really have to be diligent about sharing this message.
No, you're absolutely right. And so my last episode, I dedicated to my mom's best friend because she was diagnosed with stage 4 bowel cancer at only 30. Now, this is a long time ago. I'm talking like 50 years ago. But I mean, in those days, nobody spoke about it. Nobody. I mean, she was sent home with a colostomy and the doctors basically never really looked at her again. Things have right. really changed. And I think we can count ourselves lucky and fortunate to be living in today's times where there is an open conversation about it and people are more aware of it. You know, like we said before we went on air, younger people are often sent home because they don't fit the bill.
Right.
So you've got to be your own best advocate. Nobody fights for your life like you do. And
right.
if you think, no, okay, I've been diagnosed with something, but there is still something more, have it checked out. That's what I say all the time. Just have it checked out and get peace of mind.
Right. I know I was sharing my story about my first cousin, Samantha, who happens to be 30 years younger than I am. And although this isn't colorectal cancer related, because of my GI doctor finding my celiac disease, which explained so much. And Sam had a lot of the same symptoms. And so she was actually found to have both two genes for celiac, but she went through the same thing, you know, as a young person who on the outside appeared very healthy. She knew something was wrong. You always talk about that, your inner voice. She just knew something was not right. And so when she was diagnosed with both of the, both genes for celiac, of course, she went on a, you know, good diet, she started working out, just really became very conscious about her health, but she still was not getting better.
Yeah.
And so her inner voice just kept telling her, and I'm talking several doctors just to get a diagnosis for celiac. And wow. She's a school teacher and she used the word lunatic. She said, I was made to feel like a lunatic wow. every time I went to see a doctor, yeah. but she never gave up. Mm. I'm so proud of this girl.
Yeah. Very much so.
So after her celiac diagnosis, she still didn't feel better. Mm-hmm. I was at her wedding last March, still didn't feel better. She looked good, you know, from the outside and all appearances. She said she still wasn't feeling her best. She went down the road seeing several doctors again. And you know what? One doctor finally listened. She had a brain tumor. She had a tumor in the pituitary.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
Yes. So she had surgery in Mayo in December, and she's doing really well.
Oh, good to
And
hear.
but you know, she just knew she didn't feel right. Powerful, and it's all because she just kept going to the doctor. She just was like, all right, this one doesn't want to listen, I'll go see another doctor. This one
Exactly.
doesn't listen, I'll go see another doctor.
Oh, good for her. Good for her. That's exactly what I've been until you find the diagnosis that actually resonates with you. It sounds so terrible because, I mean, nobody wants a diagnosis, but if you know there is something wrong, and like I said, nobody fights like you do, and doctors are also only they're only seeing you, and they're trying to do their best as well, I'm sure, but
Absolutely.
if you see a young, vibrant person, I mean, that's the last thing that you would think of.
Exactly. So yeah, I do love how you share that inner voice story, so we know when we're just not feeling good. Because I would say this, and there's always one exception to every rule,
Course.
but wouldn't you agree that everyone wakes up every day and wants to feel good?
Yes.
So when we take time out of our life to go to the doctor and share our symptoms or our story, it's really not because we want the afternoon off or something like that. We really just don't feel good. And you can't fix what you don't know is broke, right? So, like I said, it's not that we're trying to just it was like me seeing doctors for my gut issues all those years. You know, it's I just didn't feel good. That was the bottom line. It just took a long time for me to finally find out what it was. But I think all of us want to wake up and just feel good. It's just that simple, so that we can do our best and be productive and just live
Absolutely.
a good, simple life.
On this note, we're going to have another quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Stoma for Life. Now, the last thing we spoke about is we want to feel good. We want to feel good every day. And I am so pleased to have Teresa here speaking to me. She obviously feels very good. And I'm so pleased and very privileged for you to have shared your story so far. Now, I know the book, yes, it's got a very catchy title. I want you
It does. It's
to.
so southern.
It's absolutely wonderful. It'll stay in my head forever.
Right.
And I mean, that's what you want to provoke, and you want people to listen, and you want them to listen up. And I mean, it's a serious subject that you're talking about. So perhaps you can just share with our listeners where to actually connect with you or find your book.
Oh, you're so sweet. There's a website, teresadavismills.com, that will take you to the website. And you can read some excerpts and find some signs and symptoms and things like that. And then it can also be found on Amazon. Just if you just Teresa Davis Mills, or I'm not shitting you, depending on the different types of social, sometimes we have to take out the I, sometimes we have to take out different things so that we don't get red flagged. But
We're talking about, okay, we're talking colorectal cancer here. Now, obviously, it's a very real cancer, but still, you've got to take out a letter because of something that,
Oh, I'm it's the irony of it. I just it's a kind of a common saying, you know, like I remember when I would go to Canada, everyone said this at the end of the sentence, eh? You know, like, are you hungry? A, you know, it's kind of like, I'm not shitting you. It's just, or are you shitting me? It's just kind of a southern slangy thing, and it can be used for good or bad. Like, oh my gosh, you're getting married. Are you shitting me? I can't believe you're getting married, or that sort of thing. But it's funny, people either have loved the title or they don't like the title. And I've had both sides of it. Public radio, when they interviewed me when the book came out, would absolutely not say the name of the book. I had a podcaster who interviewed me. He absolutely would not say the name of the book. And so I just say this to it. I say, apparently, you have not had colorectal cancer because there's nothing offensive about that.
No.
offensive is that we have young people dying from this disease that's preventable. What's offensive is that we still can't talk about, say the words poop, diarrhea, constipation, gas, talk about these things like the grown-ups that we are. That's just part of being a human being. You know, it's just as normal as eating, right?
Yeah.
But we're still really uncomfortable about it. And until we get comfortable talking about colorectal cancer, signs and symptoms, the death rate of colorectal cancer, it's not going to get any better. So like you, I love people like you and that are just like, I'm not going to let this stop me. I'm a mother. I've had cancer. I'm a mother and I don't want anybody else dying from a preventable disease. It's just that simple. I love that you're you do this and you have your Saturday shows. I love your website, by the way. Such an amazing woman.
Thank you so much.
Mine was the same story. There was someone else that in my family that had not had a colonoscopy, that had never had a colonoscopy. I had delayed mine until it was almost too late. So I just wanted to really share my mistakes so that other people would feel like they weren't the only ones, because when I was first diagnosed, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm the only one that's ever postponed a colonoscopy. And look at what I've done. And so that's what kind of gave me the incentive to tell my story and then to continue to share my story.
And that's what we here at Stoma for Life want to continue doing as well. I'm so pleased for you to share your story. Please carry on doing exactly what you're doing. I absolutely commend you for what you've done. And I hope to hear from you real soon again. Thank you so much for being on the show, Teresa.
Thank you so much for having me and allowing me the opportunity to share my story and the message of prevention.
That's one big thing. Everybody listening now, go have your screening done. Prevention is better than cure. And that inner voice, listen to that inner voice.
Right.
Okay. Right. On this note, I'm going to say goodbye.
Thank you so much.
Take care. All the best.
Thank you. Love you. Bye. Bye.